A sense of security is so important for us as humans. We desperately want to know that we'll be taken care of, that everything will be okay, that someone is watching out for me, and that we have enough money in the bank and that we'll feel secure. This has been a huge challenge for all of us, especially in this particular year, with so many unknowns in our lives. Things that used to be so secure, like our ability to come and go from China, are now totally insecure. Things that we used to be able to plan for no longer seem possible. We desperately want to feel secure. Having a basic sense of predictability in our lives is actually a basic factor for mental health. When we don't feel secure, it's hard to feel happy or to love others well. So what do we do when it turns out that the world isn't anything like as secure as we wish it was? Our basic insecurity in being a human being on this broken planet means that we spend a huge amount of time trying to obtain security. We all tell ourselves stories about what we need in order to feel secure. I need to have enough money. I need to have the right work to do and a healthy family and popularity and my spouse's love and my children's future all worked out and success and perfection and comfort. We think that we need all of these things, and we tell ourselves that we need all of these things. What's your story? Here's a question to discuss in your family group. Now, let me pause for just a second and define that term. We're a group, we're a church that believes that we're called to be family for each other here in Beijing. We are just one expression of the family of God here in Beijing. We meet together in groups on Sunday morning in our homes, and we're trying to be family to each other. This is our family groups. This very much includes all of us, whether we're single or married or with kids or separated from our families by COVID or work or any other reasons. Family group is the name that we use for this way of doing worship together on Sunday mornings. So here's the question to discuss in your family group, which is made up of your unique combination of marrieds and kids and singles and anybody else that you can invite. What story do you tend to tell yourself about security? What do you feel like you have to have in order to feel secure? Please pause the video for a minute and discuss this question in your family group. This is the second week now in our series on the Sermon on the Mount, where we're learning all about the upside down kingdom of God. Last week, we looked at the very last section and learned that Jesus really does intend for us to build our lives on the rock, on these words of his. He intends for us to actually do what he says. Why? Why would we do that? Because this is the good life. This is the description of how life works best. Anything less than this, and life starts to fall apart. Relationships break and our soul is wounded and we live lives that feel more like hell on earth than heaven. On the other hand, when we do this, when we live this way, relationships are healed, our souls come alive, and a bit of heaven shows up in our midst. It's just like Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Today, we're going to begin moving back through the Sermon on the Mount and look at the golden rule and the power of the kingdom. Next week, we'll go back and look at the other warnings that Jesus gives in the conclusion. And those will make a lot more sense in light of what we talk about today. Heavenly Father, we invite you into this morning's message. Would you be here in our hearts? Help us to see the truths from your word. Help us to feel the goodness of your words, and create in us a desire to walk in your ways so that you can bless us richly as we live your way, blessing the world through us and delighting in you in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today we're going to look at these two sections, the power of the kingdom and the golden rule. And through these sections, we're going to learn three things about God's kingdom. First, we're going to learn what is the way of the kingdom. We're going to look at the power of the kingdom. And third, we're going to look at how do we build our confidence in the king. Let's get started. The golden rule, Matthew 7, chapter 12, or verse 12, he says this: "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." We've all heard this before, right? This is not just for people in church. Everybody knows the golden rule. It's a common bit of ethical teaching that has been popular all over the world. Now, we all know that this is very difficult. This is not an easy thing. In fact, the easy thing, the natural thing, is kind of the anti-golden rule. It would look more like this: whatever others might do to you, do to them first. Or it might look like this. It might look like whatever others might do to you, do to them first. But the golden rule says that whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This is exactly the opposite of the way that the world works. This is the upside down kingdom. Now, we naturally focus on what others want us to do, we naturally focus on what we want others to do for us. We're very aware of our own expectations and our desires of others. This is natural. Jesus knows that this is natural, and this is the right place for him to start talking to us. I don't naturally know what you want or what you need, but I am basically aware of what I want from you. So this is a really good place to start, becoming aware of what I want and the way that I want other people to treat me. Now, when I become aware of that, now I can just start doing for you what I wish that you would do for me. I switch my focus from paying attention to what I want to begin meeting your needs. I move from focusing on my needs to your needs. When we do this, we make this switch in our thinking. We begin to naturally fulfill all of the law and the prophets. So for Jesus' original audience, he's saying, you don't need to live by all 600 some commandments of the Old Testament and pay attention to all of those. Because if you just pay attention to doing this one thing, do unto others as you would like them to do unto you, you begin fulfilling everything that the law and the prophets were saying. And for us modern people, we don't have to worry about 100 different definitions of ethics and good behavior, because this one very simple, easy to understand, but very difficult to do definition helps us to know what it means to live in loving community with others. When we live this way, life works really well. Now, the problem, and you know this, is that we don't trust that you will do this for me, and so I don't feel like I can do this for you. So we're all stuck waiting for everybody else to make the first move. I'll love you as long as you love me first, and we all get stuck here. So what are we going to do about this? Jesus gives us the answer in our next section: ask, seek, and knock. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Jesus is giving us three actions that we need to take and three promises for us when we take those actions. First, we ask, because the promise is that the one who asks receives. The first most important thing we need to ask and clarify when we talk about this is, what are we asking for? Now, when I was a kid, I really wanted this verse to mean that God would give me anything I wanted as long as I asked for it with enough passion. However, we really need to keep in mind the context of this passage. This is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. What we are asking for here is primarily the power to live out what Jesus is telling us to do. Does he also provide for our physical needs? Absolutely, yes, but not in whatever way we see fit. We'll see later that he only gives us good things, and often what I want for me isn't always what is best for me. Next, he says that we need to seek because everyone who seeks finds. How is that different than asking? Seeking involves actual desire on our part. We actually need to want to do what Jesus is telling us to do. If I don't want to do good to others, I'm not going to do it. And if I don't believe that loving my enemies will benefit me, I'm not really going to try. We need to begin desiring from a heart level to do what Jesus is asking me to do. And finally, he says we need to knock. Now, knocking is a physical action. When you come up to a door and want to get in, you actually have to pick up your hand and knock on the door. Living kingdom lives involves our actual obedience to what Jesus is telling us to do. Why would we even want to do this? Because on the inside of this door is abundant life, connection with God, healthy relationships, a meaningful life. We can't create any of those things for ourselves. They're all inside the door. But entering the kingdom way of life and all of its blessings for us means and becoming emotionally enough committed to the way of Jesus that we're willing to ask, seek, and knock. Our whole natural tendency, though, is to not believe this and to not even desire this. Jesus knows this, so he gives us an image to help us to understand, to help our hearts connect with this truth. This is what Jesus says. He says, or which one of you humans, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Jesus knows exactly how broken we are. So he gives us an example we can understand. Even human fathers are naturally generous with their kids. We want to meet our kids' needs. If they ask for us something, we're inclined to give it to them because their family and their welfare matters to us. At least that's what we're supposed to be, and we understand that this is what we're supposed to be. I don't know about you, but I often struggle with a tension for myself between giving my kids what they ask and my natural tendency to say no out of fear of spoiling them, or maybe just because I want to say no out of pure selfishness. Sometimes I just feel tired and cranky and I say no out of pure spite. But Jesus uses our faulty human example of fatherhood because it helps us to see what generosity is supposed to be. Even if your father, like my father, or you as a father, or me as a father, so fall very, very short of the mark of what true generosity is. Even the best of us human fathers fall so far short of what we're called to be. And yet we human fathers want to give what good gifts to our children, even when we don't often know what the best thing to give is. God, our heavenly Father, on the other hand, does know. He's our Father in heaven. He's the one who is perfect, who knows all things. He absolutely knows everything that is best for us. He gives us good things, not acceptable things, not passable things, not mediocre and never bad. He gives us good things, even if not all of those things actually feel that good to us when they happen. When Jesus was pleading with the Father to let the cup of the cross pass from him, Jesus knew that the Father's will was still good, even if that meant his suffering. For us, we need to begin to trust that God is actually our very good Father and that all of his gifts to us are good. This is how we begin to develop the confidence to ask, seek, and knock, is when we begin to believe that God's way is best and that he is just waiting for me to ask him. God wants to pour out his power in our lives to help us live his life of love that will result in deep blessings, not just for us, but for our families, for our coworkers, our brothers and sisters in church, and the whole people of this city. This is the upside down kingdom the way that seems contrary to everything I naturally believe, but is actually right side up, producing deep blessings for me and for others. We need to trust in the abundant generosity of God. This is one of the big themes that runs throughout the whole Sermon on the Mount, that, and it's central to all of Jesus' teaching. The Bible Project put together a really great video on this topic, and it helps me to understand the generosity of God and feel it in a new way. So let's take a few minutes to watch that together. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. When we believe these things, when we believe in our hearts that God is our generous host and that there is plenty to go around, then living like this begins to seem like the only logical way to live, doing for others what they would want them to do for us, and meeting their needs and taking the first step in relationship to bless others, even our enemies. This becomes the natural way to live when we begin to see the world the way Jesus does. So how do we begin to build this confidence in the King and his provision that flies in the face of everything that the world tells us to be true? First, we need to repent of our false stories, all of our, I can only feel secure when I have X, Y, or Z. Figure out what those things are, repent of them. And every time you see them rear their ugly heads in your lives, repent and ask for God's forgiveness and begin to trust in him. Second, we can reflect on God's provision. What are the ways that God has provided for you? Write down a list of all the ways that he's provided you for you today, this week, and in your life, and begin to tell stories of God's provision for you in your life. That's what so many of the Psalms are about. They're retelling the story of God's generosity to Israel, of his good gifts to them, and helping Israel, both the psalmist remembering and for the people that the psalmist is writing to remember of all of the gifts that God has given to them, the constant, repeated provision of God for their lives. For me personally, we have a story like that. When a few years ago, we had adopted Isaac and David into our home, and Isaac needed eye surgery. Now, we went to Minnesota for 5 months. And over the course of those months, we had 5 different eye surgeries, trying to create space for a prosthetic eye for him. Each time the thing came out and we were growing more and more frustrated and not able to make it work, we had scheduled to have a training in Colorado over the summer. So we went there for 2 months. And while we were there, the doctor said, come back to Minnesota again and keep on trying. We didn't want to keep trying, but the doctors tell us, so I guess we should. But we didn't have a plan. We didn't have a place to stay, and we didn't have our car worked out. These are things that you plan in advance, and you have security because you know what you're going to do and where you're going to be and how am I going to take care of my work while I'm living in Minnesota. It all was unclear, and we didn't have any certainty, and we didn't have any plan. So we ended up going for 2 weeks to wait up in the mountains, a beautiful, beautiful place. But the whole time I was angry, 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 because I didn't know where we were going to be when we got back to Minnesota. But one day before we left, we got an email saying that there was a house that had opened up. A guy from my church, and his mom had gone into the nursing home, and we were able to go and stay at her house, and somebody provided a car for us, and everything ended up working out. But I didn't know in advance how it was going to work out. But God did. He had a plan. He just didn't tell me about it. This story for us is become part of our family folklore. This is a story that we tell over and over to our kids and to our friends about the way that the Lord has provided for us. When it seemed like there was no way, God made a way and he provided for us. Telling this story has become part of our growth and our confidence in the provision of God. What are your stories? What are the ways that God has provided for you? And when it seemed like there was no way, what did God do to provide for you? Share one of those stories in your family group now. Pause the video, tell your stories, and when you're done, I'll close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your amazing generosity to us, that you gave us a world so full of abundance and goodness. Thank you that even though we have so broken your world through our selfishness, you came to show us the way of love through trusting in your abundant generosity for us. Would you help us to remember your goodness, to look back and tell the stories of all the ways that you've provided for us? Help us to remember so that we can trust you and love others with generosity too. So we can trust you to take care of all of our needs so that we can take care of the needs of others. So that we can tell others of our family and our friends and everyone we meet over and over about the amazing generosity of our Father in heaven. And to invite them into this party because we know from experience exactly how amazing your party is. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.